Welcome to the Style Sports Hub, presented by UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports Hub podcast presented by UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. I'm your host, Kyle Coppola. Thanks for joining us. I want to thank our partners that make it all happen. Lake Center Home Care, Lake Sumter State College, and United Southern Bank. Today's podcast available on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and more. So check us out and subscribe. It really helps us out. I'm joined today by Dr. Cedric Tangston from UF Health. Dr. Tangston, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, Dr. Tangston, we have a lot to unpack. Of course, you work for UF Health, and I wanted you to tell us about your background and where you went to medical school and how you ended up at UF Health.
Okay. Now, I've been here in the community now for about 19 years. Been with UF Health since 2020. And so I ended up in the community. I'm a Floridian by nature. I was born in Satellite Beach, Florida. Grew up in Lakeland, Florida. Went to undergraduate in medical school at the University of South Florida in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And subsequently went to Louisiana State University for my orthopedic training. Mm-hmm. And then did additional fellowship in foot and ankle surgery in Baltimore.
Oh, very, very cool. So how did you get into orthopedics? Was there something that when you were young, you got into it?
Well, I think, you know, since I was in the third grade, I wanted to be a physician, mm-hmm. but I really didn't know what I wanted to do until I got to medical school. And so I had a pretty open mind about various things. And I think normally the way it works when you get into medical school, you have to figure out, do you want to be a surgeon or do you want to be a primary physician? Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step. You know, how do you want to interact with patients? And so you spend those early years figuring out where you fit in. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my first exposure, true exposure to orthopedics was after the first year of my medical school. I went up to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, mm-hmm. and I shadowed different doctors up there. And I was lucky enough to work with some orthopedic surgeons, and it just fit me. It fit my personality. It fit the skill set I felt I had and was hoping to develop. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of stuck with orthopedics through medical school and was fortunate enough to be able to train in orthopedics. And now I'm here.
Absolutely. Well, what about your personality really made you want to go into orthopedics? What was it about the orthopedics that really fit you?
Right. I think for me, it was that, you know, people get better, that the things you do actually make an immediate difference mm-hmm. in orthopedics. I mean, every doctor helps patients, but in orthopedics, because you're a surgeon and you're dealing with musculoskeletal issues, patients improve. Bones heal, ankle sprains get better, mm-hmm. you know, swelling, bruising, all those things resolve. And so it's just having the opportunity to work with a patient in a capacity where you can see that benefit from the patient yeah. in a shorter period of time.
Yeah, and there's so many injuries that happen, a wide variety of injuries, correct. Of course, in orthopedics. Are there any specific injuries that you see more of?
Well, you know, I think we see a lot of lower extremity injuries in the community here. Everyone here is very active. Mm-hmm. Pickleball is huge in the community.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of injuries related to that in our one part of our population. And then we also have the younger population where we see a lot of high school kids with various sporting injuries, whether it be soccer, basketball, football, mm-hmm. those type of things. But I would say probably, you know, softball and pickleball are two of the bigger injuries that we see, more common injury activities that we see.
Interesting that you mentioned pickleball, because pickleball, of course, a sport that's growing not only in the villages, but in the United States and around the world, really.
Correct.
When you see pickleball, it's on ESPN now, all sorts of places. But what kind of injuries in pickleball? Is it mostly ankle injuries? What kind of injuries?
Well, you know, we've seen everything. We've seen everything from bumps and bruises to strains and sprains. But we've also seen fractures. Because the thing about pickleball patients have to be careful with is that most of the injuries occur the first few times you play. Mm-hmm. So if you're new to the sport, you're learning the sport, that's when we see those injuries. Because it's a different sport for most people. Most people didn't grow up playing pickleball. And so when they're doing it, sometimes their technique is not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And that's when we see those injuries. So we've seen everything from ankle fractures to shoulder fractures, along with your ankle sprains or knee sprains. But a lot of common injuries. We used to tell our patients that pickleball built our office.
Yeah.
You know, because okay. it's that common how many times you see patients mm-hmm. on a regular basis. Daily, we're seeing someone with a pickleball injury.
Wow.
Now, the majority of them don't require surgery, but some of them do.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of injuries do require surgery? How does that happen on a pickleball court, too? Is it mostly like a stress fracture, or what do you see?
Normally, it's sudden movements. Hmm. So you're going after a ball and you're moving a little bit quicker than your body's ready for you to move. Mm-hmm. And you end up lunging for a ball and you're placing your hand down suddenly, or you're pivoting suddenly and you're injuring your knee. So we see a lot of wrist injuries because of that. And also because people are pushing off suddenly, we see a lot of Achilles injuries.
Okay.
From playing pickleball. So really it's just about moving too quickly or in an awkward way leads to a lot of injuries.
There's a lot of different surfaces involved as well. I wanted to talk. One of the surfaces that I think has been in the news recently is artificial turf. Have you seen any type of a difference between artificial turf surfaces and, say, a natural grass surface? And is there any that you would prefer to play on?
Well, I think most people would agree that a natural grass is better. I mean, there's different types of artificial turfs, but a lot of people complain about catching your foot in the turf when you go to plant or you go to pivot. And it can lead to injuries. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, look at the NFL now, and they become big advocates on that. The players are starting to talk about switching the surfaces, getting something that, you know, feels more natural.
Right.
And I think that's important. And so with pickleball, you know, the surfaces around here are great. I mean, because they're made for pickleball. Mm-hmm. But I had a patient here recently who was playing on a concrete surface playing pickleball and ended up injuring her wrist. Mm. On that harder surface. Mm-hmm. So I do recommend if you're playing pickleball, play on the correct surfaces. Try to play on the safer surfaces because it does make a difference. And it's also, too, just long-term, it's less stress on your joints.
Absolutely.
Play on the softer surfaces.
Yeah, let's go back to you for a second as well. You obviously work for UF Health, and you've been in the area for a while. What made you choose this area in particular?
Well, I'm originally from Florida. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Lakeland, so it's not too far from home. Very centrally located. So I knew the area. Mm-hmm. And also, too, when I moved here, not too far from Orlando. So you have the quiet pace of the Tri-County area, but 45 minutes away is the airport and a lot of things to do.
Yeah, I would imagine that you've been fairly busy the last couple of years with how busy it's gotten here with the villages continually expanding, Leesburg's expanding, all of the communities are expanding. What has that been like to build your practice here?
Well, it's great to build a practice, but it definitely keeps you busy. When I first got here, the Villages Hospital had 50 beds.
Wow.
And, you know, now it's three times that, you know. So both Leesburg Hospital, the Villages Hospital, you now have the Brownwood Emergency Room, the UF Brownwood Emergency Room. So you have a lot of growth here in the area. A lot of patients have moved down from up north. When I first started, it was very seasonal because people had two homes. Mm-hmm. But now with the changes in the economy, most people have moved just to Florida. And that's their only residence. Mm-hmm. So we don't see that drop off like we used to. Normally around this time of year, around Easter, we would see a significant drop off during the summer. But every year that's changed to where now you really don't notice it anymore.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it's just been such a real estate boom here in the area.
Yeah, for sure. All over the place. You got the real estate market exploding here in Central Florida. And obviously you're feeling that as well. Right. So we're going to have much more with Dr. Tankson coming up in just a bit on the Sports Hub podcast.
Is pain or restricted range of motion keeping you on the sidelines? Get back in the game with expert orthopedic care from UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics provides robotic-assisted surgical joint repairs and replacements, post-operative care, and inpatient rehabilitation services, all close to home, right here in Lake and Sumter counties. And for those unexpected injuries, UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics offers convenient walk-in and same-day appointments. To learn more or to schedule an appointment with one of their specialists, call 352-323-5665.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Sports Hub podcast presented by UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. I'm sitting here with Dr. Tankson, who works for UF Health Medical Orthopedics. I want to talk about what we got going on as far as injuries. We talked a lot about pickleball. I also wanted to talk about as far as male and female athletes. It is differing as far as that goes. Do you see more injuries as far as pickleball related to males or female athletes?
Right. I think in general with sports, you know, the research has shown that with female athletes, especially when it comes to knee injuries, that they have a higher incidence of those. And there's various reasons for that. Their anatomy is different than men. Also, their hormone levels are different. And those things contribute to those knee injuries. The most common one that we hear about is an ACL injury or an anterior cruciate ligament injury. Mm-hmm. And that's very common in young women who play sports. And so I think that's the main difference that we see is in the knee injuries when it comes to men and women. In our community, we see a fair number of wrist injuries with women compared to men. But I think some of that's just the nature of the community. Mm-hmm. But the most often what we see is just the, with the younger females, is just a knee injury seem to be more common.
Is there any way for females to prevent that as far as that goes? What is your advice to them to prevent?
Yeah, I think the most important thing with any injuries is some of it is your training before the activities. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're training appropriate. You want to make sure you're warming up appropriate before activities. With women, you want to work on increasing your core when you're doing strengthening. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference. One thing they've shown is that when women jump and land, they tend to land with their knees more straight and they don't use their core muscles as much as men do. And that can lead to more injuries in your knees. So some of that is when you're training, how to play various sports, how do you position yourself? How do you land? How do you pivot? How do you shift? Those things are important.
Do you think that there's a disparity between the way that women get taught and men get taught at all at the high school collegiate levels, maybe perhaps?
Well, I think that's improving. Mm-hmm. I think as women's sports grow, but you have to remember, I mean, 20 years ago, there were half the women's sports that are now. Mm-hmm. And so as those sports grow and as the participation grows, I think the training's becoming equal.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is you have to have the resources, you know, and I think that's the important part. So I think a lot of colleges are starting to get that. The high schools are starting to get that because you're starting to have great sports trainers, both for the females and the male athletes, even starting at the high school level. Mm-hmm. And that's where it really starts. If you have bad habits when you're playing sports at an early age, you're going to build on that as you get older. But I think there's a lot of people now who understand the science of it. And it's definitely improving.
Yeah, you mentioned the science of it. What things have you seen or how have things changed since you got into the field of orthopedics?
Well, I think that a lot of things that we're doing now is that we're using technology, especially in sports. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of video of how athletes train and how they perform. So now you can go back and look at, you know, digital images of is your technique appropriate? Are you, positioned the appropriate way? Are you using if you're playing a softball or something of that nature, are you hitting the ball correctly? Mm-hmm. I think that's something we've learned a lot from is that the technology has allowed us to be able to be more critical of our technique, which helps both male and female athletes significantly. And also, too, once you get injured, the treatment modalities have improved significantly. The way we, you know, do surgery on an anterior cruciate ligament injury today mm-hmm. is different than what it was 10, 15 years ago. Athletes are able to return to sports much quicker now than they were a decade ago.
How is that possible?
Well, it's the techniques have improved. Mm. And so the one thing that you gain by doing research, say for instance, with an anterior cruciate ligament injury, mm-hmm. The biggest thing is when you're replacing that ligament or repairing that ligament, is the fixation. So how do you keep it in the bone? And that technique has improved significantly over the years to where it's a much stronger construct than what it used to be. And we're even doing that in the foot and ankle with Achilles surgeries now.
Yeah.
So with Aaron Rodgers, you know, he had that injury and there was talk that he was going to come back at 3 months, which is unheard of for an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant took a year and a half to come back to the NBA. And so people were asking, well, how can he come back in 3 months? Well, part of that was the technique that they were using involved anchors. So not only were you repairing the Achilles tendon, you were augmenting that repair by putting two anchors into the heel bone.
Wow.
And so that's something that we're doing now. That's something we also do here mm-hmm. Through UF Health Orthopedics, the similar techniques. So I think really the beauty of medicine is that we're always learning new techniques. We're always trying to improve on things. Even if they work well today, we're trying to make them work even better in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's what athletes are benefiting from in orthopedics, is that there's always this desire to be better.
Yeah, I feel like always athletes are learning on the fly, right? They learn things on the fly. Are you having to learn things sort of on the fly as they change?
Right, you do. We have to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. And so medicine has definitely changed since I started training. But that's the part that makes medicine great. Is that you have to stay current. Mm-hmm. You're always challenged to learn new things. That's the attractive part of any surgical field, that it is challenging. And it's different. You have to be creative at times.
Yeah.
And that's the part that makes it always great.
And you talk about it being great and you're enjoying it. What's your favorite part about being an orthopedic surgeon?
Well, I think the best part of it is that the patients get better. So the fact that you can have a patient come back and see you, whether it be a month later or 5 years later, and say, hey, doc, I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you again for helping me. I mean, I think that's the best part of any physician's job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a privilege to be a physician, to have that opportunity to help patients. So I think for me, it's the fact that I can do something, I can be a part of something that allows that patient's overall function, their quality of life to improve.
We'll have much more with Dr. Cedric Tankson with UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics coming up next on the Sports Hub.
Are you looking for a bank with heart? For over 85 years, United Southern Bank has served businesses and families in Central Florida with excellent customer service and the latest in banking technology and products. USB offers free checking, high-yield savings accounts, residential and commercial loans, and much more. Whatever you're looking for, USB delivers on personalized service and friendly, fast communication. Stop into one of our 12 convenient locations or visit us online at unitedsouthernbank.com. United Southern Bank, we are united in community. Equal housing lender and member FDIC.
Hey everybody, we are back on the Sports Hub with Dr. Tankson with UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. I want to thank you for coming on to the program. Want to also touch base. Obviously, you're African American descent, and I wanted to talk to you about that, being a minority doctor in the community. We have a lot of kids who look up to people like you, a lot of younger kids. Right. How did you sort of get the opportunities? And can you talk about sort of being an African American at one of medicine's highest levels?
Right. So I think the key part of it is medicine's difficult regardless. Mm-hmm. Your ethnicity from that standpoint doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you're going into medicine, you have to work hard at it. You have to make a lot of sacrifices. And the ultimate goal is obviously be to take care of the patients and do a good job. This community for us has been unique is I've been here since 2005. Mm-hmm. And obviously as African-American physician, you know that it's difficult. Partially because there aren't that many physicians of African-American descent in general. In orthopedics, that number is even less. So in orthopedics, the number is 1.5% of all orthopedic surgeons are African-American, which is a smaller percentage based on the national population of African-Americans. So it is difficult to become an orthopedic surgeon, but just like any other physician, you have to work hard at it. You have to be motivated and driven to do it. In this community, you know, over the years in my prior group for our Joint University of Florida's health group, I was a mentor over at Carver Middle School for several years. Mm-hmm. We also did some mentoring at Leesburg High School. We had a group of minority students that we mentored. And that was great because it is good for people to see someone that looks like them, who may have a similar background and, you know, who may have similar goals and aspirations.
Yeah.
But, you know, one thing I would tell students is it's not really about the color of your skin. It's about, one, having the desire, getting to know people. And that's across the board, getting to know people. You know, my path to orthopedics, I would say, was a combination of having African-American mentors, but also having mentors who were not African-American. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, regardless, you have to have people who believe in you. To be successful, especially in things that are competitive. And once you get your foot in the door, you have to do the work. And so that's what I tell kids when I mentor them is that, hey, nothing in life is easy. Nothing in life is free. Sometimes because you may look different than someone else, maybe your path is a little bit more difficult, but that should motivate you. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, when I've had times where maybe I felt the situation was a little unfair, I just worked harder. Because in medical school, I did have a moment of that where I felt the tables weren't level, for me as a medical student. And I just worked harder because ultimately your performance is what makes the difference. And that's the way I live my life. And the better you perform, the more successful you're going to be. And that's regardless of what color or ethnicity you are.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it.
What are some of the, what was one of the biggest challenges that you had to go through? I mean, me personally, I'm not the best test taker. I don't know how you tested, you got through, and you've been practicing medicine right. for almost 2 decades now. What was the biggest challenge though, getting through the whole program and getting to the point where you're at?
Well, I think the biggest challenge of medicine in general is the sacrifice. Hmm. I think people don't understand what you have to give up to be a physician in general. Time from your family, times from your normal activities. You're making a sacrifice from college all the way through. And even today, I'm 50 years old. I'm still making a daily sacrifice because we have to work nights. We have to work holidays. Mm-hmm. We work weekends. So you're always giving something up. You're always having to learn new techniques. So you're constantly studying and to improve your skill set. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just a sacrifice. I think one thing people have to understand is one thing we used to tell each other in medical school is that if you're doing it for the money, you're probably in the wrong profession. Because it's not enough money to make you give up half your life for something. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing. You're giving up your entire young adult life to achieve a goal that ultimately allows you to be able to help patients.
Yeah.
And so if you have that desire, then you're going to do well. But it has to be a true desire to help people, a true desire to, make the community better. Mm-hmm. And if you have that, you'll do well.
I certainly think that you're making the community better. You're helping a ton of people, and it's just a blessing to have you here in the community, especially. I also wanted to give you a statistic. We had a 92% African-American graduation rate in Lake County this year, which is fantastic. That's one of the highest it's ever been. That's got to be a proud feeling for you, having been a mentor over at Carver and Leesburg High School. That's got to be a fantastic statistic.
Well, I think the key part of it is we want the percentage to be 100%. But I think, when I came here in 2005, the schools here were very poorly rated across the board, and they've improved. And that's the parents, that's the teachers, that's the administration, everybody working with a common goal for all the students to do better.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I mean, I think the one thing I always tell people is that if you have a strong educational background, mm-hmm. you're going to always be successful, and no matter what you want to do. And that starts from elementary school. And goes up. And I think if we teach our kids great habits, they're going to be successful adults. And so I think the fact that the graduation rate continues to improve is great. And I've seen that. My kids grew up here in Lake County. And so, we've seen how the school system has improved, how the kids are now going to a higher level of colleges, too. Mm-hmm. That's always a sign of how well kids are doing, how many kids are going to college, what type of colleges are they going to. And we've seen that improvement in Lake County. Which is great.
Yeah, certainly we're seeing it a lot. The ACE program has been great for a lot of these children. Umatilla, Principal Frazier has been doing a great job over there. Michael Randolph over at Leesburg High School been doing a terrific job over there. And it trickles down to these kids. And eventually, perhaps some of them might go into the medical field.
Correct.
Which is really exciting. Doctor, one more thing I wanted to touch on. Your advice to younger children who might want to become a doctor. You talked about the sacrifice, everything that goes into it. What final piece of advice can you offer to a lot of the senior class that's coming through right now?
I think the key part of it is twofold. One, you want to expose yourself to whatever career you want to do. You want to expose yourself early. So, medicine is one of those things where if you can shadow someone, whether it be your local physician, your local pediatrician, or at the hospital, you want to do that. The more you're around something, the more you feel that it fits you, the better you're going to do at it, the more motivated you're going to be to do it. And that's with anything. If you want to be an engineer, go shadow an engineer. If you want to be a broadcaster, same thing. You want to expose yourself to those things. But the other thing I would say is quality of life also matters. And so when you're young, you don't forget that those are the best years of your life. And so you want to make sure that you enjoy your life, that you expose yourself to things. Maybe, if you want to travel the world, travel the world. See things, do things, because those things make you a more well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. So it's not only about having tunnel vision to become a physician, but it's about making sure that you're a better person, a more well-rounded person. And that's just really about exposing yourself to things that sometimes may make you uncomfortable, but may make you better in the long run.
Dr. Cedric Tankson, thank you for coming on to the Sports Hub today. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. Want to thank, of course, UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. Also want to thank Lake Center Home Care, Lake Sumter State College, and United Southern Bank. A reminder, our podcast is available on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and more. So check us out and subscribe. It really helps us out. Want to thank us one more time, Dr. Tankston, for coming on for UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics. We'll see you next time on the Sports Hub Podcast.
This has been the Style Sports Hub, presented by UF Health Medical Group Orthopedics.